It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go. Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Winning isn't everything. He wouldn't know. He's never lost. Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports, now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour number two of Primetime Sports. Well, we got the B stories out of the way. Let's get to the A story. It's more the AA story. As by now, everybody knows, Alex Anthopoulos has decided to pass on a future with the Toronto Blue Jays and move to, I don't know about greener pastures, but other pastures. I suspect they'll be greener as well. We will address this situation in its entirety. John Paul Morosi will join us later. Jeff Blair will be with us. Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports and the man himself, Alex Anthopoulos, the outgoing general manager and senior vice president of baseball operations, to tell his side of this story. Eric Francis is here, and Shai Davidi joins us in studio. It was Shai who broke the story publicly for us. I don't know exactly when, this morning?
Yeah, I think it went live about 7:15 or something like that.
That's about when I was alerted to it. So, yeah,
you ruined a lot of people's days today.
Well, you know, it was gonna happen one day, or one way or another. But
good that we got the news from you.
Yeah,
there are a lot of takes on this story and what happened and why it happened and could it have been prevented and who is to blame. And I have never been shy about critiquing my employers here at Rogers, even though I'm not an employee, I'm a contract player, but I still work here and I've worked here for a long time. And I don't always agree with the things that they've done. And they are a party to this mess. If you think that Alex Anthopoulos' departure is a bad idea, I agree with you. But I don't believe that decision was made over the last few days. I don't believe that decision was made over the last couple of months. I believe this whole story, in order to chronologically be accurate, you must go back to a year ago, maybe more than a year ago, when Rogers started in the pursuit of a replacement for Paul Beeston and did so without telling Paul Beeston they were doing that. Now, is an employer allowed to do that, permitted to do that? Of course they are. It happens every day. But it doesn't leave a very good taste in your mouth when somebody with the history of Paul Beeston is the guy that you're replacing. And then they went after a guy in Kenny Williams by going to the owner of the Chicago White Sox to ask permission to talk to him, apparently unaware that the owner of the Chicago White Sox is a very good friend of the aforementioned Paul Beeston. And the first thing that happened was the owner of the White Sox called Beeston and said, guess what? I just got a phone call. And that started a chain of events that unraveled very quickly for management at Rogers and wound up with Beeston agreeing to stay for one more year. But the search for a replacement went on. You fast forward to May, June, whenever the conversations began with Shapiro. And I don't pretend to know the exact dates, but clearly it was many weeks before they made the announcement. At that time, Paul knew what his future was. And most people thought Alex Anthopoulos was coming to the end of his tenure. I was one of those, and there were many others, who supported Anthopoulos through the whole process. And I thought Alex should have been allowed to stay. But I understood if they made a change, there was an argument to be made for making that change. The Blue Jays hadn't achieved any success. The signings of Donaldson and Martin were significant, but they hadn't generated wins. The Blue Jays were at best a .500 team. We all know at the trade deadline there were 50 and 51 and a game under. We didn't know what was about to take place. It seems logical to me that Rodgers decided, well, it's maybe in our best interest rather than hire a business guy to replace Beeston, let's hire a baseball guy. And they came upon Shapiro, who had this experienced general manager, and effectively thought, well, they're getting two for one. Yes, it would be anticipated that Shapiro would probably make the decision on Anthopoulos. Even if Anthopoulos left, Shapiro would always be involved in the baseball decisions. He'd bring in somebody else. It at the time, and even in hindsight, it seemed logical. What Rodgers could not have known was what was about to happen. And that was this extraordinary run of success. What was the record? 41 and 17 or something like
43
that?
43 and 18, maybe?
Okay, close.
42 and 18?
Over the next little while, that saw them blow past the Yankees, win the division, ultimately go on, go fall two games down to Texas, come back and win three in a row, and then make a valiant run against Kansas City that fell short. By that time, Alex Anthopoulos was a god. The 90% who wanted him gone were now the 90% who wanted him to stay. Beeston was leaving, that's fine, but it was Anthopoulos who did these deals. I think it's important to understand where Alex was when he did these deals. Alex probably was under the assumption that he had nothing to lose and everything to gain by taking the risk. The future of the club was probably going to be in somebody else's hands. He decided to mortgage the future for the present. There's no way Alex Anthopoulos could have possibly anticipated what was to come. He was hopeful and optimistic. He probably still thought they had a chance, but he could not possibly have imagined that with the acquisitions of the five guys that he got, that he was going to turn this franchise around so dramatically and change everything about baseball, not just in Toronto, but in Canada. Everything that happened was positive. All of a sudden, there were sellouts. All of a sudden, everybody was wearing Blue Jays paraphernalia. All of a sudden, Rodgers started setting records for television viewership. I remember the first day that they cracked, 2 million, set a record. It broke a hockey record for the biggest audience. It was 2.03 million or 2.04 million. Those numbers were going to be dwarfed in the weeks to come, ultimately settling at over 5 million for the last game the Blue Jays played this year. The revenues that were generated in the last 2 months by the Blue Jays and by Rodgers as the owner were extraordinary. Everybody was in love with Alex Anthopoulos, but by now the die had already been cast. They'd made their bed with Shapiro. Shapiro's position was the same as it always had been. He wanted to have some role in the baseball team. Alex, on the other hand, already unhappy with the way the club had treated Beeston, and justifiably, his mentor, his friend, wanted at the very least the same autonomy that he'd had for the previous 6 years. That wasn't going to be possible. No term, no money was going to solve that problem. And Alex Anthopoulos decided to walk away. What happens in the future remains to be seen. There is blame here, but the blame isn't over what happened the last 3 days in Rodgers' attempt to get Alex to change his mind. The blame goes back to when the decision was made with Beeston, without consulting Beeston, and it all got out. Shai, you have followed this. Disagree with some, all, any of that?
Well, I agree with a lot of what you said, but I will say that ultimately what Alex became collateral damage here, right? Because when the decision was made to transition away from Beeston, they went, but the change didn't happen before this season. You went into a campaign with a lame duck president and a lame duck GM.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So whoever was getting replaced first, or logically the president, right, was going to inherit a situation with a GM that he may or may not have liked, or that the GM may or may not get along with. And that's never an ideal way to start a relationship, right? So there was going to be a tough call for whoever was president regardless.
Now, agreed.
Now, it would have been simple if the Jays didn't have a good season, because everyone knew this season was playoff or bust for Alex, and it ended up being playoff. And that certainly changed the dynamic. But once the circumstances got to played out the way you mentioned, it was going to be difficult, I think, obviously, for the sides to find middle ground. And they tried over the past month and a half to find some middle ground, and they were never able to get there. And to me, it's a shame, because I think there should have been a way for Alex and Shapiro to have found enough middle ground. These are two bright guys. They're two, you know, progressive minds in the baseball world. They both have good experience. They could have complemented one another. And it's a shame that they weren't able to work it out. And the reasons for that, you know, Alex won't say. He repeatedly said it wasn't the right fit. We're free to infer from that there was something in the relationship, the environment, the structure, whatever the case was. But it's a real shame that they weren't able to find common ground. Because I think there should have been a way for them to find common ground, even amid the circumstances that you detailed there.
Alex talked about a meeting with Shapiro in, I think, mid-August, mid to early August. I don't pretend to know what the nature of that conversation was. I assume it was just the two of them. I'm told it was a lengthy, few hours, conversation. Don't you think, whatever the context of that discussion was, that if Alex had any inkling that he might stay, it was obliterated at that point?
Yes, because the way I looked at it was, Mark Shapiro comes in, gets hired officially August 31st. Okay, you got a month at that point till the end of the regular season, and you have what is essentially a layup here. You know, you got a GM who's going to be, was today, ironically enough, named Executive of the Year in baseball. You got a team that's going to end a 21-year postseason drought, in a lot of ways looking like the class of the American League, a legit World Series contender, trending upwards, core under control, reasonable payroll allocations, no bad money on the books, all those things. You have all these positives, all these things that are trending the right way. Why is this guy not coming back? And so to me, I was expecting there to be an announcement at the end of the regular season, just before in the playoffs. You tie it all into a neat bow and off you go, off-season planning continues while the postseason begins and the franchise moves forward steadily. When that didn't happen, that to me was a red flag at that point. And what happened to get it there, you know, can't be 100% sure. And, you know, I've spoken to some people who know both guys. It was interesting. One person said to me, the process in Cleveland is probably a little bit more collaborative than what Alex Anthopoulos is used to. And maybe that's a factor.
You know, I think the process here has always been collaborative. I'm going to bring Eric in, but I think it was a different sort of collaboration. Paul Beeston was Alex Anthopoulos' mentor in many ways, his friend, his father figure. He was the guy Alex could go to talk about anything, and I don't doubt for a second that he talked about everything that he did with Paul before he did it. Not unlike the way I experienced Gillick and Beeston working together. It was a joint venture. I mean, there are many stories of Gillick and Beeston tootling off to some free agent's house, the two of them, to make the pitch on behalf of the club. I don't see any reason why it was any different. Don't you think that if you had somebody that you were that close to that had been treated the way Beeston was treated a year ago, that you would hold some animosity?
The one thing I'll say to that is that Alex Anthopoulos is a big chain of command guy, right? He, whether or not he agrees with what's going on, he strictly adheres to the chain of command. Like with J.P. Ricciardi, he disagreed with a lot of things that J.P. was doing, but he was the AGM and he was going to act out whatever it is that, whatever direction it is that J.P. Ricciardi set. And that would have continued here beyond Beeston. But he's at a point now where he's got enough clout and enough achievements under his belt where he can call some shots, right? And maybe he looked at the situation and said, you know, this is not what I want.
Sorry to interrupt, but wasn't he being asked effectively to take a job that wasn't as senior wasn't as autonomous as the job he had. Even though he went to Beeston and consulted with Beeston, it wasn't mandated necessarily that he had to do
well,
that.
It could also be that it was just the setup was going to be different and the process was going to be different. And he's done things a certain way for 6 years now, and all of a sudden it's going to be different. And maybe that's not necessarily worse, but it's just different. Now, I don't know. There's a lot of guesswork here. We're inferring a lot based on what we've heard and, you know, whatever information we've been able to glean from sources. But there are probably two ways to look at this, right? It's things are going to change. Do you want to adapt to them? Or it's you're not being given the same autonomy and freedoms as you've been given before. And, you know, from Alex's point of view, it could possibly look that way. And from the other point of view, it could be, well, you know, the structure is changing. There's a cultural shift coming to this organization, and this is part of it.
Eric, jump in.
We're going to hear from Alex at the top of the hour, and we'll, you know, I'm not sure we're going to get many more answers than he tried to provide us with earlier in the day, because I think most people have heard his answers to his questions. But I think that the die, as you put it, the die was cast many, many months ago, and the baseball world as a whole saw Alex Anthopoulos as dead man walking. Does Rodgers, who is getting vilified right now, we know that, do they deserve any credit at all? They're not going to get any, but should they get a little bit of credit for at least trying, okay, given what happened over the last 2.5-3 months, all the magic that this city and country experienced, they thought, geez, obviously this is a nightmare if we're going to lose Alex. They tried to change their tack and tried to appease him in some way by maybe offering him more than I think he was even going to get originally when Shapiro was coming in.
Well, a lot more. A lot more. You know, I don't think he was universally looked at as dead man walking in the game. You know, I had some people call me today and just say to me, what is he thinking? Like, what is going on there? Like, that deal, he's got to take that deal. You know what I mean? And a lot of smart baseball people are wondering why these two guys, two really smart, intelligent baseball guys, couldn't figure it out
between
themselves.
Is it ego?
Could be. I don't know. I mean, I don't really know Mark Shapiro very well. I've, you know, just exchanged a couple of emails with him in the past. You know, I haven't heard from him. Nobody's heard from him to this point. I think we'll probably get a better sense of, you know, his perspective on things when he meets with the media next Monday or Tuesday.
Maybe.
But I just keep coming back to the same point. There had to be common ground. And the tough thing for the franchise is we're at a point where you're about to turn the corner on 21 years of failure and dysfunction and all these other things. And just when you think that that's all in the past, boom, this throws a wrench into things. And this doesn't have to be disaster. The franchise could very well continue in good stead under Shapiro. I mean, he's a smart baseball guy who's accomplished a lot in the game. So this doesn't necessarily have to be disaster, but it's not going to continue the way it was. And the way it was really good. For the first time in 20-odd years, it was really good.
We know you got other places to go, so we'll let you tootle on out of here. Thanks a lot for stopping by and sharing your insight, and we'll see you again soon.
Good work today.
Thank you.
Shai Davidi with us. It is important to note that we invited senior executives involved in the process of negotiating with Alex Anthopoulos to join us on this program, and they declined. Rogers executives. And they chose not to come on. And they are entitled to make that decision, I suppose. John Paul Morosi of Fox Sports joins us to talk about this. I know we're in the middle of a World Series, and the focus of attention in the baseball world is supposed to be on that. But you can understand if we are a little distracted here in Toronto.
It's a big story, Bob. It's a big story not just for Toronto and for Canada, but for the whole industry, for a lot of the reasons Shai pointed out, that Toronto and the Blue Jays have emerged this year as a franchise that has to now be accounted for when you think about those franchises that can become powerhouses in Major League Baseball. Talk about the revenue streams, the TV ratings, all of that. So I think this is now obviously a very sensitive point for the organization, as Shai was touching on. And I'm fascinated, Bob, to hear what Mark Shapiro's plan is going forward and who, in fact, he plans to hire as the new GM. Because from my understanding, there will be a new GM. It's not as though Mark Shapiro is going to appoint himself as the GM and run the day-to-day. He took this job because he wanted to be the president and the CEO of the organization, which he will be. So there is now going to be a new GM of the Jays, and I believe that search will begin shortly if it hasn't already.
But it's to be acknowledged that Shapiro did not operate in Cleveland by providing total autonomy to the guy he brought in as the GM to replace himself. That he had a policy whereby he was involved in all baseball decisions. Now, did he mandate the decisions? Did every trade, every move, every action have to go through him? I don't know the answer to that question. Mark Shapiro is probably the only one who knows the answer to that. But it's clear that Rogers, when they hired him, felt as though they were getting a guy who could not only replace Beeston, but could be impactful on the baseball side. He wasn't just a business guy. They could have gone out and got some CEO from someplace and then either hired another general manager, made the decision themselves, or allowed that CEO to go do a search, or decided to keep Alex Anthopoulos. At the time they hired Shapiro, there's almost no doubt in my mind they'd already decided Alex wasn't coming back. Mm-hmm. His resume, his performance with the Blue Jays, wasn't good enough. And then magic happened, and right, the world changed literally in 60 days.
Well, it did. And I also think, Bob, it's important to point out that I think in some respects the decision to bring in a baseball person, if you want to look at it this way, was probably made a year ago, right? When we knew Paul Beeston wasn't coming back, and then we started hearing about Dan Duquette, about Kenny Williams,
right,
about Mike Rizzo, those types of names. So at that point in the process, I do think it's important to point this out, that at that point in the process, the notion based on where the Jays were a year ago to say, well, maybe there is a credible argument to be made that they need a new baseball operations head. You could make that argument a year
ago.
Sure
you could.
Of course.
100%.
And people are forgetting that today.
Exactly. They had that track, and that was their thought process. And so certainly at that point, they could have decided Alex Anthopoulos was that guy. They didn't. And then again in July and August, they decided that the baseball operations vision they wanted was that of Mark Shapiro. So I think, could they have coexisted? I think probably they could have found a way to coexist. But the point is, they didn't. And the other point is, there was along this continuum the option for ownership to decide that Alex Anthopoulos was the voice they wanted, and they did not do that.
In our Canadian cocoon here, people are throwing around words like a day of mourning. People are frustrated, they're angry, they're sad. How does this look from afar, south of the border? Is this considered to be a bit of a gong show, the way this all kind of happened, or is this a head scratcher? How would you term it?
I think a head scratcher, Eric, might be the word that I would, the term that I would use, because first and foremost, we have to remember this. On opening day, when they raise the AL East championship banner, guess what? There'll be 50,000 people at Rogers Center. Okay, the people are not going to, unless I'm mistaken here, that atmosphere that we saw in the postseason, all down the stretch in Toronto at the September and August and those months, they're not just going to go away because the GM is not back. I mean, that we have seen power struggles before in sports. I think about the Lakers in those years when Phil Jackson left, came back, all these types of things. Theo Epstein left and came back. I'm not saying that Alex is going to come back, but my point is, the Boston Red Sox, the LA Lakers, a lot of marquee franchises in pro sports have had similar situations like this. Now, it's a little bit different here, I grant you that, because Alex, of course, is Canadian. He's come up through the organization. It's his home country. He put the nation's team back on the map, and there's a lot of emotion tied up in that. I get that entirely. But I think that maybe here in the States it might be viewed as sort of sports business as usual, even though it's probably not. I do think if you take a step back and take maybe some of the emotion out of it, if the Jays hadn't just gone as far as they did. There's a lot of very special circumstances in play right now, and I think that's why maybe the emotion is so raw. I think that by the time the Jays show up at spring training in Dunedin, yes, it's going to be different, but I think that, again, there's going to be a lot of enthusiasm for this team in February and March, and more importantly, when the season begins.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
there's no question about
people
that.
Care about wins and losses and the players on the field. That, you know, yeah. Who are they watching? Well, they're not watching Alex Anthopoulos, and they're not watching Paul Beeston. There was a show of support for Anthopoulos in Baltimore when they clinched, and that was, you know, touching to watch. Beeston kept a low profile, got almost no mention, has received almost no credit for his role in this, whatever it was. And I don't pretend to know exactly, but here's what I believe. I believe that prior to the trade deadline, and I'm going to obviously paraphrase here, Paul Beeston and Alex Anthopoulos at some point sat down, looked at each other, and said, well, we're both dead men walking.
I agree.
All right, we're both out of here at the end of the year. Beeston knew he was gone, and Alex had to assume he was gone. You couldn't have assumed anything else.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do? What the hell? Let's give it one last shot and see what we can do. And screw the future, because
we're not part of it.
We're not part of it. So here's 20 young players that are highly thought of. Let's see what we can get for these guys. Let's see if we can go out with some kind of a bang and have a laugh. Well, they had a laugh. They went and got Price, and they went and got Tulowitzki. And the other three guys who were not insignificant as well. It cost them a lot of future, but even they couldn't have imagined the way they would have finished Morosi.
Right.
They took a shot, but they couldn't have anticipated whatever it was, 42 and 18 the rest of the way. No chance.
Sure, and I think, too, guys, remember, this. Mark Shapiro, his leadership style is noted by a couple different things in baseball circles. Number one, he's very much a fan of continuity, sort of the organizational ethic that you have there. I'm trying to think of an analogous team in another sport. They've not had a ton of success, but the model is somewhat revered in the industry, that they've done it the right way from a front office standpoint. They've had a number of key men in that front office that have passed through there, whether as scouts or executives. One of them, I should note, is Tony LaCava, who spent a year there and now, of course, is the Jays' assistant GM. So Neil Huntington, John Daniels, a lot of very high-profile guys that have been GMs other places and had success came through Cleveland. So I think that they've had a lot of sort of strokes in the industry for that. The other thing they've done, because of an economic reality there in Cleveland with how low their attendance has been, is they've always held fast to their prospects, sometimes to their detriment, okay? And I think that's maybe one thing where Mark Shapiro might have looked and observed what Alex did at the deadline, and that may have run counter to the way he's run his business for a very, very long time. Again, doesn't make one version right, one version wrong. We've seen the Royals make it to the two World Series in a row with a homegrown core for the most part. So I think there are multiple ways to do this thing, and I do think that I would say if you look at the way Alex ran the club in July, again, with good results, it is not exactly straight out of a page one of the Mark Shapiro playbook of how to run an organization.
Well, and there is a report, and I don't want to put too much emphasis or discredit it for that matter, because I don't know how legitimate it is. There is a report that during the meeting that allegedly took place between Shapiro and Anthopoulos, that conversation took place where Shapiro essentially chastised Anthopoulos for trading away all his top prospects. And if the timing is accurate, it would have been at a point where the Blue Jays had started to play well, but still weren't in a position where you could say they really now have a shot. And I don't, you know, honestly, I follow this team every day. I don't remember the exact date where we started to say, geez, maybe this can happen. You know, it just looked like a, you know, they got a bunch of good guys and things seemed to be coming together. And, you know, Tulowitzki could play and Reyes wasn't much of a player anymore. And they got a stud pitcher and they got a guy to play left field. Revere wasn't hitting at all.
Right.
But they got a guy who can play a little defense out there at least. And they got a couple of other arms. But you know, it was really interesting. It might have been, I think many of us thought the prognosis was for the future. And I mean next year, more than what they could salvage out of 2015. But if that meeting did take place, and Shapiro did say anything like that, you could understand how Alex would get his backup.
Sure. And again, you could understand it from both sides. And this explains, again, if it's true, that explains why we stand where we stand today. Two very reasonable, intelligent, accomplished men that have slightly different perspectives on how to run a baseball team. And that's where, to me, I appreciate the emotion in this moment and what a difficult day this is for a lot of Jays fans. But you look at the big picture here, and no matter what happens or who's running the ball club, there are a lot of really difficult decisions coming up this wintertime when it comes to figuring out who's going to be accounted for in that starting rotation. And I would say, again, if Mark Shapiro is going to have a heavy hand in the discussions here about free agency, again, the Indians have never been big spenders in free agency, partially because of their market and their low attendance, but also I think because of the way Mark Shapiro views things. And that was an organization that, even going back to his earliest days there, when John Hart was still the GM, they were big believers in signing your core internal guys to extensions early in their careers, as opposed to going out and spending that money.
No, and Mark has done that. Mark has actually done that, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, he's given his own players. He signed 2 6-year contracts. We've talked a lot about the Blue Jays' 5-year policy. Mm-hmm. He signed 2 players to 6-year contracts, but both of them were re-signs.
Correct.
So, there's one other question before we let you go. Alex Anthopoulos' future. He claims not to have anything to do right now.
Right.
Do you believe within the next 2 weeks someone will announce Alex Anthopoulos as the president of baseball operations for their major league team?
That's a great question. President of baseball operations, no, because of this. You look around the game, Bob, there have been so many moves at the GM and president of baseball operations levels in the last 16 months in this industry. Basically, half the sport has turned over. So this, I would compare this to that time, like in Canada right now, after an election where the changeover sort of is done and now it's time to govern for a while. Well, a lot of teams are just governing right now. There's not a lot of movement still to come. I think the cycle has sort of played itself out. The one team that I think will be looking for sort of a new visionary head of baseball operations would be the Cincinnati Reds. Now, they are not, in my understanding, is they're going to have Walt Jocketty still be their GM for the next year, but that is the one situation where there's sort of not an alpha person signed for the long term past this year. I mean, it's staggering to say it, but that's basically the one situation that I kind of come back to. Now, that being said, I think Alex is going to be a very highly coveted, whether you want to call it advisor, senior VP, something like that for a ball club. And one team that's very interesting is actually the Dodgers. Now, Alex is very well liked among his peers. I had a GM tell me earlier this year that when the GMs all get together, Alex sort of floats among all the conversations, that he gets along with everybody,
yep,
which is very rare. Very, very rare. He's got that great personality. You guys know him, obviously.
Oh, very
so
well.
I think that's one attribute that Alex has, and it wouldn't shock me, guys. There's a guy in L.A., Josh Burns, who worked for Mark Shapiro in Cleveland. It would not stun me if Josh Burns somehow gets in the mix for the Toronto job. If he leaves, that could be a perfect spot for Alex to slide in there in L.A. to the job that Josh Burns has right now.
You don't think there's a team out there that has a general manager but who says, this guy is hotter than a pistol.
Yeah.
If we pass on him now, we may not get a shot.
That might be Cincinnati. That's literally, this morning when this story broke, when Shai broke the story, I went down and looked 1 through 30, and I said, could this team fire the GM and hire Alex? And quite literally, the one team I came to was Cincinnati. Because everybody else, you go down the list, San Diego, yeah, maybe they're dissatisfied with A.J. Preller, but he just hired a manager today, so they're not going to fire him. So, I mean, like all these different situations, there's some of those yeah buts, I can't really see it happening there. This is just... As great of a year as Alex had, this is about the worst time to become a free agent as an executive in probably the last 3 or 4 years in baseball. It's just there are these cycles that new guys have been hired, even in the last month, Seattle and L.A. With the Angels, different places. With Boston, you know, I think if Dave Dombrowski, he likes Alex a lot. If this had happened 2 months ago, he might have hired Alex as the GM with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
But all these jobs have just been filled. So it took an incredible, I think it must be said, an incredible amount of courage, fortitude, whatever other anatomical references you want to make, for Alex to make the decision he made. And I give him immense credit because, frankly, there are not a lot of people with the integrity that Alex would have had to walk away from an offer like that in pro sports. I mean, he may be one of, you can probably count him on one hand, people with the honor and integrity that Alex had to turn down that offer because he thought that was the right thing to do. So yeah. I give him full credit, and it's going to be very interesting to see where his next job takes him.
Thank you, Morosi. We'll talk to you again soon.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
John Paul Morosi of Fox Sports. Jeff Blair going to wander in? Oh, we're trying to figure out whether he's going to wander in or not. Either way, we'll continue the conversation. At the top of the hour, Alex Anthopoulos will join us live. Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports with his two cents on that and the World Series. All still coming up when Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Minutes before the hour, guess what we're talking about? Yeah. Alex Anthopoulos is offered a 5-year contract. Some have suggested the amount was in the neighborhood of $2 million a year. I believe it was higher than that. In fact, I think it was significantly higher than that, but that's neither, excuse me, hither nor yon. He rejected that contract offer. Alex was on a contract that paid him $1 million a year plus a bonus. So it would have been a substantial increase in salary, Eric, but not unreasonable. Mm-hmm. And certainly if one looks at what general managers are now being paid in Major League Baseball, if one looks at the recent signings of the past 3 or 4 years, there's a general manager out there making $10 million a year. Mm-hmm. There are other general managers making $5, $6, $7 million a year. It's not hard to slot Alex Anthopoulos in that range of $5 million a year, maybe even more than that.
Well, his timing was pretty good in terms of if he wanted to stay here. He certainly had some bargaining power.
Well, and look, at I give Rogers credit for trying to keep him, but I don't see how they could have done anything else. I mean, they would have looked like complete and utter boobs if they'd let him walk away and not made a substantial effort to sign him. And I've been privy to some of the conversations that have taken place. It started on Monday, high-level conversations, senior people doing everything they thought they could to get Alex to change his mind. And ultimately, only Alex knows why he didn't change his mind, but it doesn't seem that, it seems pretty obvious to me. He was not going to be afforded the same level of autonomy mm-hmm. that he's had. Mm-hmm. The game was going to change. Yeah, they're going to pay him more money, but he's got a president who he doesn't know as well as the guy he had. The owners of the club had embarrassed his father figure. That bugged him. He lost trust in the organization, in management. Mm-hmm. And he was being asked potentially to take a job that wasn't the job he'd had for 5 or 6 years.
You know what it would have taken to get him to stay? Them ripping up Mark Shapiro's contract.
I don't disagree with you.
There are people who are suggesting that's the play that the organization should have looked at. I don't think it's that simple to do that.
It's not reasonable.
It's not reasonable, and it's also just not the way you conduct business. It also looks, that would look even poorer on your organization.
As much as I love Alex Anthopoulos, you can't let the general manager dictate who your president is. I don't like this guy. I don't want to work with this guy. I don't trust this guy. I don't want to share my responsibilities with this guy. I'm leaving. What if we get rid of him? He hasn't even started yet, but what if we eat all of his contract, whatever the hell it is? Mm-hmm. Will you stay? That conversation never happens.
No. Here's one thing I want to throw at you, and Mark Shapiro starts work on Monday. I would submit to you that anyone who starts a new job that first day is a little bit nerve-wracking. This is going to be downright terrifying. He's got a nation right now that doesn't like him. You tell me what Mark Shapiro should and or will do starting on Monday. Like, I think most people think he's got to have a press conference right away. We've got to hear from this guy. There are too many things floating around.
I have no clue what he does.
Gibby, do you start with Gibby? Do you throw the fans a bone and you say...
Well, there are people who believe that Gibby, because he's tied to Beeston and Anthopoulos, now becomes vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
I would say to you, if I'm Rogers, I have already called Mark Shapiro and said, if you get rid of Gibby, we will have a full-scale riot on our hands. You better keep him. Whatever you do to replace Alex, we can manage that, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get rid of both of them.
Not both.
There are people out there who believe that Gibby is far more vulnerable today. I think he's a lock. I don't see how they can make that move.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wouldn't do it anyway. I like Gibby. I believe he did a good job as manager this year, maybe even a great job. He made decisions that I didn't agree with. He made moves that I think were absolutely wrong. But that's going to be the case with any general or with any manager.
Mm-hmm.
When push comes to shove, I think he has the right attitude with the players. I think he handles them well. I believe that this was a very together team, a team that liked each other, enjoyed spending time together, and that the manager is the conduit of that. And Gibby didn't get in the way of it.
Mm-hmm.
Did Gibby mess up Price? I don't think so. I understand people think that, you know, by putting him in the bullpen in the Texas series blah, blah, blah. No, you got to win, man. And I don't for a second think they dictated it to Price. I think the story is they went to Price and said, are you okay with this if we do this?
I believe that.
Now, Price may not have thought it was the best idea, but I think at some point he said, yeah, okay, if that's what you want.
He's a character guy. He wanted to do what was best for the team. They needed a lefty, they thought, maybe, out of the bullpen, so he gave him that option.
I wouldn't have done that, but I do understand.
Yeah,
that.
I disagree with the decision, too. But over the course of a season, you're going to disagree with the manager's decision, I don't know, 50 times, 100
sure.
times, depending on how many games you watch.
Sure.
But his general body of work, I think most people in this city liked him. Plus, also, everyone got swept up in the whole thing. And if Gibby, the leader of the team, is seen as someone who's thrown under the bus now, too, boy, you've got another PR nightmare on your hands.
Well, now you have a real PR nightmare. Because now nobody believes anything that you say. nobody believes... even me sitting here and essentially, for the most part, defending Rogers, which I don't think anybody would have expected. And frankly, this morning at 8 o'clock when I found out, or 7:15, I didn't expect it. My anger was with Rogers for not doing the deal. But I thought it through, went through the chronology of events as I knew them, talked to a bunch of people all day, put the pieces together and said, all right, this isn't about what's happened over the last 3 days isn't Rogers' fault. They did everything they probably could have. The mistake that they made in hiring, and I think it was a mistake now in retrospect, hiring Shapiro, it was done when they didn't know what this team was going to be, what they didn't know how all the things that were going to take place. Their mistake came a year ago when they did the boob deal with Beeston. And we've addressed that, mm-hmm. and we've criticized them for it. There's no point kicking that dead horse again. That's where this whole thing started. Last few days, I think they did everything they possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if Alex hadn't said no last night, they would still be doing everything they could. I talked to one executive who at one point said there was a 0% chance, then went to 50% chance, and yesterday said it was 80, maybe 70% mm-hmm. chance that Alex would be back.
It was a roller coaster. I mean,
I think he misread the tea leaves, but that's okay. He gave me an honest appraisal of how he thought things were going. I don't think Alex had any intention of staying unless he got what he wanted. And we think what he wanted was no less authority than he's had the last 6 years. And isn't that the least anybody can ask?
No, and both Shapiro and Alex, I think, have earned the right to have complete autonomy in terms of running the baseball team if they want it. There's the problem.
Well, you can't give it to two.
No.
And they already decided who to give it to. And that left Alex Anthopoulos, if he was going to hold to his beliefs, on the outside looking in. We don't know what we're going to get, but we're going to talk to Alex Anthopoulos when we come back. Don't go anywhere. This is Primetime.